Welcome back to Await, the series about believing in and anticipating and awaiting the coming of Mashiach. In previous episodes, we've established the idea that Mashiach's coming isn't simply spoken about in the prophets. Maimonides' Rambam emphasizes it's clearly alluded to and spoken of in the actual Pentateuch, Chamishi Chumash Torah, what's known as the prophecies of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rambam not only emphasized the clear and explicit language that's found in the book of Deuteronomy, Parshas Nitzavim, but also speaks about the psukim that are found in the book of Numbers in Sefer Bamidbar, in Parshas Balak. And then the Rambam took us back to Deuteronomy, emphasizing the concept of Ore Miklat, the cities of refuge, a mitzvah that's never yet been fulfilled in its entirety, because the conditions that would allow us to fulfill this mitzvah have never materialized. That requires the coming of Mashiach. In previous episodes, we highlighted and emphasized the need for this third proof, the idea that you had to anchor Mashiach in a mitzvah mandate. In the past episode, we talked about mitzvah eternity. This idea that only mitzvahs are most immutable. And as such, in order to make our belief in the coming of Mashiach strongest, the Rambam would have to lean on not only prophetic promises, but the commanding language of the cities of refuge. In this episode, we're going to delve more deeply into the jurisprudence, the rationale, rhyme, and reason of why it's so important for us to anchor our belief in Mashiach in an actual mitzvah mandate. And this episode is called Mitzvah Guaranteed, because when we speak of prophecy, it isn't always guaranteed. You must be wondering, how could I say such a thing? If God speaks through his prophet, of course it's guaranteed. Well, let me direct your attention to the Hakdama, the preface to the Mishnah, written by none other than Maimonides, the Rambam himself. And I quote, "Kishi yisnabe b'tzareis u'mu'urois." When the Navi, a prophet, prophesizes or speaks in promising language about challenging, difficult, painful, or vexing times for the Jewish people, perhaps he would be speaking about ra'av, famine, hunger, economic collapse, maybe cherev, warfare and violence, something that could literally turn civilization on its head. Va'achar kein lo yiskayim, and then the prophet's warnings don't materialize. All that bad stuff he prophesied about simply didn't happen. Rambam says that doesn't mean he's a false prophet. Sha'akadosh Baruch Hu nicham al ha'ra'ah. Because God could have told the prophet bad things would happen and then, if you will, rescinded the decree. Ve'efsher she'asu tshuva. It is possible that the people, in their return to Hashem, were able to mitigate or blunt or perhaps even vaporize all of the bad things that were supposed to happen. However, the Rambam says, im hivtiach bibesorot tovot, if the prophet makes you a promise about good things to happen that will happen in the immediate future. For example, he says, Shana zo tiyeg shuma ubrucha. The coming year is going to be one of tremendous economic growth. There'll be a great harvest. Or he says something to that effect. And then it doesn't happen. It's a year of rov ubtzoides, a year of famine or pestilence. Then you know that he's a false prophet. The Rambam sums this up a little bit later by saying, Kol dovar sheyotza, whatever has come from the mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, letoiva, if it's promising something good, afilu al tanai eino chozerbo, even if it came in a conditional kind of frame, if such and such is to happen, you can be guaranteed, certain, it in fact will happen. In more succinct language, in the first book of Mishneh Torah, called Sefer Hamada, the book of Torah knowledge, the Rambam in Hilchos Yosodei HaTorah, in the laws that focus on the foundations of the Torah itself, and this is chapter 10, Halacha 4, the Rambam says, Divrei HaPuronius, the catastrophic kind of words that the prophet might say, whether it will be a year of hunger, pestilence, or warfare. Imloi Omdu Dvarov, if in fact his words do not stand the test of time, the bad things he promised don't happen. This does not comprise a contradiction to his promise, to his prophecy, his position as being one who is a seer and able to speak in Hashem's name. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, Erech HaPayim, Rav Chesed, God stills or delays His anger, and Hashem is always overwhelming in kindness. It is possibly that they did tshuva, and here the Rambam gives us a practical example, like the people of Nineveh. Or perhaps the evil was delayed, you know, kind of pushed off for a different time, like in the days of Chizkiyahu. Aval im hivtiach al teva, but if a promise for goodness was made, biyadua shuhu navi sheker. If the navi, the prophet, said good things would happen and they didn't, that kind of invalidates his status as a prophet. Now it seems pretty clear that if we talk about prophecy, it depends. Bad prophecies don't have to materialize, good prophecies are guaranteed. The problem, of course, with this is that we have words in the Gemara which seem to suggest otherwise. The Gemara in Masechet Brachot on page 4, the fourth page, side A, Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, speak about David HaMelech and David HaMelech's righteousness and his concern for the future based on the words, Lulei Hemanti, if only I could believe and know that my end would be in paradise. And the Gemara speaks about the concept of tzaddikim not being certain, because maybe they didn't measure up. The Gemara says this is best understood in the image of the teaching of Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi said, we have two seemingly contradictory verses about our father Jacob. On one hand, we hear of Hashem, Almighty God, telling Jacob, and this is in Genesis 28, verse 15, and he says, quote, V'hine anoichi imach, I'm with you. Ushmar ticha b'chol asher telech, I am going to guard you anywhere you go. And then, later on, in the very same book, Genesis chapter 32, verse 8, Yaakov Avinu is now in a terrible situation. He's heading back to the land at the time called Canaan, and his brother Esav is coming to greet him. Well, more like lock horns with him. He's coming with murderous intent. He's got 400 terrorists armed to the teeth, and their intent is definitely baleful. When Yaakov discovers this to be a fact, the Torah says his reaction is Vayira Yaakov Mod. He's extremely concerned. Well, didn't Hashem promise he'd be with Yaakov and guard him? Omar, Yaakov said, Shema Yigrem Hachet. Perhaps sin has made things a little less certain. The Mefarshim, the commentaries, talk about this idea that Yaakov knew he was a tzaddik and that he had exhausted every possibility, conducting himself in the most ethical, moral, and righteous way during the tenure that he spent in the house of Lavan. But a chet comes from the terminology of a deficiency. Yaakov was afraid that perhaps inadvertently he hadn't served Hashem, mustering the full force of his spiritual charisma. Maybe he'd left something on the table. And maybe he was no longer deserving. But if Rambam said a prophecy for good always has to happen, why would Yaakov be concerned? Interestingly, the Rambam himself notes this seeming contradiction, and he responds in his commentary to the Mishnah. He says, with regard to Yaakov, it is true that our sages maintained he was concerned. Perhaps he was no longer deserving. And so the Rambam says, you have to know, what I just told you before is when it's between God and the people. And the Navi, the prophet, is merely his messenger to the people. But in the case of Yaakov, it was Eino Ela Ben HaKadosh Baruch Hu Uben HaNavi. It was only between God and the prophet. That is to say, according to the Rambam, it isn't that prophecy inherently is guaranteed. But if we won't have a prophet's words tested and tried, how will we ever know if he's a true prophet? As the Rambam goes on to say, it's impossible for us to suggest that a prophet would say good things are going to come and then they don't happen, because the Torah itself gives us a litmus test for prophecy. You ask him to speak about the future and then you see what happens. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do that, so then how is the Navi Nivchan? How then can we in fact ascertain that the prophet speaks the truth in God's name? The only way is when his promises or prophecies are fulfilled. In other words, for one to suggest that prophecy is inherently guaranteed is actually not correct. Practically speaking, if it's something that people have heard about, you can be sure it'll happen, because there's no other way for us to be certain. As such, the Rebbe reasons, although the prophecy for good things, like the coming of Mashiach, is guaranteed because it was a good prophecy and it was Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to us, it's not inherently immutable, only practically so. Whereas mitzvahs, as we learned about in the previous episode, are oimdim la'olam ule'olme ilomim. They stand the test of time. They will always be around. In other words, by speaking about the cities of refuge where the inadvertent murderer is able to seek asylum, the Rambam has added a layer of immutability to the concept of Mashiach's arrival. But the truth is, it goes further. The Gemara afterwards speaks about a pasuk, Ad Yaver Am Zu Kanisa. The Torah says that when the Jewish people were going to come into the land of Israel, that until they would go across the Jordan, but it says it twice. The Talmud says that this alludes to the Bia Rishona, the first coming, that refers to Joshua leading the Jewish people from the desert into the land of Israel, and the Bia Shnia, the second coming. And the Gemara says, in the second time the Jewish people came to the land of Israel, it was supposed to have been as miraculous and as amazing as the first time. What happened? Ela Shagara Machet. Sin got in the way. In other words, the prophecy wasn't actually fulfilled. One of the most outstanding 17th century sages, rabbis, halachists, was the Rav of Prague, known as the Noida B'Yehuda. He wrote a commentary in the Talmud. It's called Tzlach, Tzil Nefesh Chaya. He deals with this question in his commentary on the Gemara Maseches Brachos. He talks about the Rambam's approach, and then he suggests the following. When you look at that pasuk, Ad Yaver, until they come in, he said it doesn't specifically indicate the second coming. The assumption was it was the second time the Jewish people would come into the land of Israel, but it doesn't say that explicitly. As such, it's a non-explicit prophecy for good that could be fulfilled at some future time. In other words, it's a positive prophecy, but it's not explicit. It doesn't say it had to be at this time. So it didn't have to be fulfilled and sin subtracted from its efficacy, but only temporarily. In the long term, when Mashiach will come, Ad Yaver, the prophecy of the same glorious end to Galut and beginning of redemption, will unfold in real time, in the fullest sense. What we can see from the words of the Tzlach once again is that prophecies that aren't fully explicit don't necessarily have, at least inherently, this quality of being fully guaranteed or immutable. In view of all this, we now can really appreciate why the Rambam went the extra mile, not only quoting explicit prophecies of the Torah, not only bringing us verses that allude to David HaMelech and his great-great-grandson, Mashiach, but the Rambam also wanted to link the coming of Mashiach to a mitzvah mandate, because that gives us a mitzvah guarantee. May we merit to see those guarantees fulfilled in the fullest sense with the coming of Mashiach, b'mehira, ubi'ameinu, amen. Thank you so much for joining.